the one place where news, opinions, and entertainment are the way you like it. This is Rant EM Radio.
Comic book show.
And again, thanks for listening. This is the What Are You Reading comic book show here on rantemradio.com. I'm your host, The Surfer. What is going on? It doesn't seem like I'm on the air. And you know, I'm talking to myself because this is recorded for later. Let's see, where am I at? Talking to myself because
yeah, okay, I'm on the recorded. Now, so.
But it says Turnbuckle Throwbacks. Well, as long as you can hear me, this is the What Are You Reading comic book show. Say it again. I'm going to say it every week as long as I'm on the air. And you can listen live on TuneIn, Stitcher. You can listen on the download on Podbean or iTunes. Or you can listen live at the chat room here at rantemradio.com. And better than listening, you can call in and discuss comic books with me. That's at SilverSurfer_forever on Skype. Look for The Surfer. Look for SilverSurfer_forever. And I'm not the only The Surfer, so that's why you got to look for The SilverSurfer_forever. So, I really need to get a phone number. Anywho, let's look at some box office numbers. Well, for the second weekend in a row, Solo: A Star Wars Story is the number one movie. It's brought in $29 million over the weekend. Its total gross is $148 million. Now, that, of course, is very low for a Star Wars movie, especially since Disney has taken over. So, more than likely, this will probably be the lowest grossing Star Wars movie. Now, everybody looking at it as a flop and so forth. I don't know how you come to that conclusion. I mean, yeah, you usually get more money out of a Star Wars movie. But, you know, the worldwide total is $264 million. Now, if the budget is correct in any way, it has surpassed the budget. Now, I guess you got to make a lot more to actually have a profit, supposedly. But, you know, hey, people went out and saw it this weekend too, made the number one movie. And most people walk away from it, think it's a good movie, and nobody's saying it's great or their favorite Star Wars movie. But it's not the train wreck people thought it was going to be because of all the things with the change of directors and the budget because of the reshoots and so on and so forth. So, and then, you know, this movie is it's feeling the effect of The Last Jedi being so polarizing, even though I enjoyed The Last Jedi, but a lot of people did not because they didn't get the Star Wars film they thought they was going to get, and therefore, you know, there's a good percentage of people who really have a disdain for that movie. And so some of them was like, oh, I'm done with Star Wars. I'm not getting the kind of movies I want. Well, Star Wars ain't for me. You know, a lot of older people say that. It's not being made for me anymore. So, you're never going to make everybody happy with a Star Wars film. Deadpool's number two for its second week. Another $23 million to its total of $254 million after 3 weeks. They had a budget of $110 million. And, you know, it's a little bit behind what the original one is, but it's still a success. $598 million worldwide. So, who knows? That could be the last movie that Fox makes with a profit before it's sold to hopefully Disney or maybe even Comcast, with, you know, the word about them trying to outbid each other and Comcast is trying to get in and steal Fox from under Disney, so on and so forth. So we'll see how it works out, because it comes down to like a cash bid up front or a bid where you'll profit down the line for eternity. Avengers dropped down to 4th place after 6 weeks. It's adds $10 million to its $642 million. It is the second highest grossing film domestically, but of course worldwide it is the number one film, where it's up to $1.9 billion. And we're still keeping an eye if it can cross the $2 billion mark. You know, as far as domestically, yeah, it's slowing down only because there's other movies to go see. Unlike Black Panther, who, you know, most of the movies came out after Black Panther, you know, kind of flopped, or people wasn't interested in, so Black Panther stayed king a lot longer at the box office. But you know, it looks like that domestically, Infinity War won't catch Black Panther. Now, here's a movie that I want to see. It's not really comic book related, but Upgrade opened in 6th place with $4.4 million. I don't know if that is a profit or not, because it's a Blumhouse film. Blumhouse films are made for the cheap. So, who knows? It could have quadrupled its budget. Don't know for sure. Rampage dropped down to 14th, added another $500,000 to its $95 million domestic and worldwide total of, the domestic part won't catch the budget, but when you add in the worldwide movie, it's $415 million, so, you know, success. Pretty much a success, yeah. Black Panther, even though it's out on video and you can go buy it in the stores, it's still in theaters, just holding on, $247,000. It's not in many theaters at this point. Less than 300 screens. But it's at $6.99. So maybe it will reach that $700 mark. If it keeps making $247,000 over the next 3 or 4 weeks, it can hit that $700 million mark. So, let's see. Han Solo ain't doing great. This is, I'm reading that chat room. That means it will be on TV real soon for free. No, Stanley. No. See, you don't know how it works. See, first, it has to leave the theater. It's not going to leave the theater before 6 weeks. Because a movie like that gets a 6 to 8 week run. And it's not failing so where they would pull it out after 2 or 3 weeks. Then, of course, it has to go to digital on demand. And you know, home, you know, DVDs, Blu-rays and stuff. That's a set time when that's going to happen. And then you have pay-per-view and on-demand. And they have to get their run. So after that, then it has to go to cable. I think maybe Stars or Showtime usually shows like these Star Wars films. And not to mention Netflix. You're not fixing chill. So we are talking a couple of years before it gets on free TV. There is a time limit to when these things happen. Even with failed movies, they still have to go through the pay-per-view and video and stuff like that before it gets on to free TV. And then the free TV is not really free if you're paying for cable. You know, so if it gets on, see, I don't know what channels you have over there, where you're at over in Europe, but here, like, we have channels like TNT and USA Network and TBS, FX, which is a Fox station for now until Disney or somebody buys them out, and it goes on those stations first. Then it'll go on the broadcast station one day, two, maybe 3 years from now. So, if you want to see it, either you got to pay for it or get it bootleg or something. So, stop being a freeloader and looking for free movies. Anyway, so let's talk some news. Well, you Walking Dead fans, well, guess what? This coming season, its star Andrew Lincoln is leaving the show. So, yes, Andrew Lincoln will leave the show with season 9. Says Andrew Lincoln, who stars as Rick Grimes on AMC's The Walking Dead, may leave the show in season 9. Lincoln is only set to appear in 6 episodes of The Walking Dead season 9, according to Collider. The reports indicate that the fan favorite Dell Dixon, played by Norman Reedus, will take over as the show lead. AMC declines to comment on when contacted by CBR, which is Comic Book Resources. It is not clear what report could mean for Rick's journey in the drama. The show ratings have suffered in recent years, with the season's 8th finale be the second lowest rated in the history of The Walking Dead. Still, the series remain a television's juggernaut. Season 8 saw the high-profile demise of Chandler Ridge's Carl Grimes, which upset fans. There's also some doubts about the future of Lauren Cohen's Maggie Rigg, as ABC reported, picked up one of her other projects. The Walking Dead returns this fall to AMC. The show also stars Andrew Lincoln as Rick Grimes. Yeah, we know all that. Now, I don't know why they don't make Michonne the lead. Why it has to be a male? Why can't Michonne? Of course, she's getting that Marvel money, so she may be leaving herself. Anyway, that's the thing about the TV compared to the comic books. Like, you know, comic books can go on forever. You can have the same guy, girl, whatever, as you lead, the star of the book. But with TV and movies, nobody wants to, most actors and actresses don't want to be in a situation forever. I mean, sometimes it's like, hey, it's the only money I'm making, you know, let's keep this thing going on for 30, 40 years, which has been, you know. But nowadays, usually, well, you're on a hit show for so long, as an actor, your profile goes up. And Andrew Lincoln, you know, he was a decently known actor before it, so now he's definitely well known. So more people could be knocking at his door. Hey, we think you're perfect for this role or that role. And you know, once you get into movies, of course you make more money. You know, it takes a while to make a lot of money on TV. And AMC, you know, they've at times lowered their budget So it's not like the actors are getting, you know, a boatload of money in this. They're in a show where a situation where anybody could be killed off at any time. There's no guarantee you got a show, you're going to be in that show forever, you know. They can write you off the show within a few moments. Zombie attacks, you're gone. So, and yes, I was going to read you the story about how Daryl Dixon was going to become the star of the show. That's probably going to be controversy in itself, because a lot of people have not liked Daryl's character over the past 3 to 4 seasons, you know, and a lot of them was wishing he was killed off. And but yeah, but Norman Reedus, he's getting a pay bump in order to be the lead of the show. But you know, last year's Death of Carl's lets you know there's no characters going on forever in this particular series. So, and who knows? Look, they might have killed Carl off because he's aging, older on TV than he is in the comic book. Because in the comic book, you know, it could take 3 or 4 years in real time for a year to go on in the comic book. But in real time on TV, like, you know, let's see. The whole thing with Negan. Carl could have been 12 in the comic book. But on the TV show, you know, the real actor, Chandler Riggs, he's probably 16. So it doesn't play out the same. So, and I don't know how that makes a lot of people feel, whether they think the show will get worse, get better with Andrew Lincoln walking away from it. You know, maybe it was, you know, the show's plan to write him off, and maybe he didn't want to go, and you know, maybe they didn't afford him. This is a mirror of reasons of why, you know, he's going. Let me see, I'm still in the air. Hold on. Oh, and, you know, maybe, yeah, I'm still in the air. Even though the crawl hasn't changed. So, if you're a Spawn fan out there, now they've been talking about doing a Spawn reboot for a while. And its creator was writing a script, Todd McFarlane, for Blumhouse Films. Well, now it is confirmed that Jamie Foxx will star in the Spawn reboot. Hell no. No commercials. Sorry. It says here, Jamie Foxx officially set to star in the particular character in the Spawn reboot from Blumhouse and Todd McFarlane. According to Deadline, Fox finally took on the role, rumored that he was being courted to play a popular comic book character. McFarlane, who created Spawn and started Image Comics, will be writing and directing the film. Blumhouse, the company who will be producing the film, tweeted out a photo of McFarlane, Fox, and the studio head Jason Blum to confirm the casting news. Okay, now I know what Jason Blum looks like. While the movie will be filmed, will be titled Spawn, it won't always be the character featured on the screen. In this take on the character, Spawn will be a kind of a character that lurks in the shadows, only to appear from time to time in order to capitalize on his terror. Alright, so Spawn is going to be Jaws. He's going to be popping up from time to time. Why do you need a big star to do something like that? Oh, it's a Blumhouse. Blumhouse does a lot of horror things. They're going to go more horror. The original Spawn sucked. Had no violence to it. And no, he didn't really fight nobody to the end, and it got ridiculous, and he's flipping around, shooting machine guns, and nobody's being shot. So, see, they even mentioned the scariest movies from Jaws, the John Carpenter Thing, or The Grudge and The Ring, the Boogeyman doesn't talk. So, if he doesn't talk, why are you casting Jamie Foxx? Well, just for a few minutes in the beginning, you can see what he was when he was human. And then, of course, he becomes Spawn, and then you never hear from him again. Okay. We'll see. I mean, when they announce these comic book movies, I hope they do well, even though sometimes I know deep down inside the movie's not going to work. I'm on record saying that Dark Phoenix is not going to work. So, and, you know, of course, they reshooting it. They delayed it. It was supposed to come out this summer. They were delaying it to next year. And, of course, they're going to make some changes since this could be the very last X-Men film by Fox until after the merger with Disney, and then Marvel Films takes over or whatever. You know, maybe Comcast Universal gets it and they just keep going with the way they've been going with it. So, Cloak and Dagger first 5 episodes synopsis released on Freeform. Since Cloak and Dagger is set to air its season premiere on Freeform in just over a week, that was, you know, a few days ago when this came out, the network has released an official synopsis for the first 5 episodes of the season. Let's see. What are the episodes' names? I'm not going to read the synopsis. I'm just going to read the titles, all right? So, first episode is called First Light. Second episode is called Suicide Sprints. Third episode is Stained Glass. Fourth episode is Call Response. And the fifth episode is Princeton Offense. Now, I'm going to watch some Cloak and Dagger this week. Hopefully, it's a good show. And also, I can get into it as an older person, because, you know, being on Freeform, it could be one of those shows that's meant for, you know, the young people, and they don't give a damn about whether I can get into it or not. You know, I hear about Riverdale being good, but I look at it and I'm like, no, there's nothing there for me, so I don't watch it. Anyway. Let's see. What's next? Video game news. Paul Rudd is being eyed for Sonic the Hedgehog movie. So, what does that mean? That mean like an animated Sonic or a live action Sonic? When it's a CGI hedgehog running around in the real world. I don't know. Which movie would y'all prefer to see? Come on. Yeah, no, it won't load up. Here we go. Paul Rudd reported one of the top contenders for the lead human role in Paramount Pictures' upcoming Sonic the Hedgehog film. Well, that tells you right there, it's a live action with a CGI hedgehog. According to the hashtag show, Paramount is eyeing Rudd for the role of Tom, a police officer who befriends Sonic and will most likely accompany the Blue Blur on his missions to thwart Dr. Robotnik's evil plan. Rudd is no longer a stranger to genre films, and in his third Marvel cinematic appearance as Ant-Man and the Wasp comes out this summer. Let's see. Last fall, the news got out that Paramount has acquired the film rights to Sonic the Hedgehog franchise. Later, the studio set a tentative release date for November 15, 2019 for the adaptation of Sega's Mario Rival. While the majority of the plot of Sonic the Hedgehog adaptation remains a secret. At a stage in production, the hybrid live-action CG film will expect it to begin filming this summer. Well, I know a lot of you don't think this is going to be a good movie because this is a movie based on a video game. And we haven't got a great one yet. The one that came out not too long ago I thought it was pretty decent. But I gotta be honest, I can't remember what the movie was that was based on a video game. So, Lock and Key ordered to series by Netflix. Now, I don't know how different it's going to be from the pilot I saw at the Comic-Con a few years back, but who knows? Let's see. So, after multiple failed attempts to bring the comic to life, Lock and Key is nearing a deal for a season order on Netflix. According to the Hollywood Reporter, the plot that was filmed for Hulu will not be brought to Netflix. Will now be brought to Netflix. Sorry. What does it say? Okay, no, I'm reading it wrong. Will not be brought to Netflix. Instead, the streaming giant will redevelop the project alongside IDW Terrence, showrunner Carlton Kurtz, and co-creator Joe Hill. The pilot, director Andy Muschietti, will not return as he's currently tied up in filming It too. Despite not returning for the cameras, he still will receive an executive producer credit on the Netflix adaptation. So they're starting as far as the show. So I don't know how different they're going to do this new pilot compared to the last pilot, but we'll keep an eye out on it. Yeah, let's see. Now, I just told you about Paul Rudd being up for starring in Sonic. Well, there's another name being mentioned. James Marsden. And it says here, Variety reports that James Marsden of Westworld and X-Men franchises will star in the Paramount Pictures movie, the adaptation of the popular game for Sega. This isn't the first time Marsden worked on a live-action animated hybrid, having previously shared the Easter-themed comedy Hop. So, is he getting a starring role as Paul Rudd? I don't know. I don't know. We have to keep an eye on it, make sure we get the right ones, the right people. Maybe they both are. Now, here is some bad news for some people. Not for us, but, you know, second biggest show of comic books is New York Comic Con. I thought at some point it was going to maybe get bigger than San Diego, since most comic books companies were in New York at one time. And New York's a bigger city than San Diego. But not yet. But apparently the New York Comic Con convention, regarded as the second largest, most prestigious comic convention in America, the popular depiction of convention that is, unlike the behemoth that is San Diego Comic Con International, New York Comic Con is more about comics than pop culture and nerd adjacent memorabilia. However, in what could be a shift in the focus for the convention, many industry veterans are reporting that they have received rejection emails in response to their applications for passes that identify them as comic professionals. It says, as the rejected emails started landing in the inboxes, word began to spread that many creators who have worked on mainstream comic books for years have been turned down for pro passes. Jamal Igo, artist for such titles as Supergirl, Firestone, and Black, tweeted confirmation that he was turned down for a pro badge for the first time since the convention's inception. And he has a tweet up here. There are other people being mentioned. Ryan
Ferrer, Matt Minor, Alex Pacadino, sorry, I keep messing up these names, Nick Stockman, Eon and Moron, Taylor Esposito, and so forth. But apparently, New York Comic Con is addressing the situation with these rejections. Now, keep in mind, these pro passes, they're not free. They still have to be paid for. But apparently what the pro passes do is allows these people to navigate Comic Con more freer than the average person who just has regular badges, unless there's, you know, I guess they have a VIP, but it allows them to get in and out of things a lot easier. So, it's the New York Comic Con is addressing it, and they say, it says, New York Comic Con organizers have the privilege to swiftly remedy a computer error which resulted in the numerous comic veterans being denied industry badges for the October event. Quote, we are doing everything we can to figure out the glitch and rectify the error today. Mike Armstrong, director for the parent company Repop, said in a statement to CBR, a team will be in touch with those professionals who were rejected when they shouldn't have been. The creative community is what makes New York Comic Con so special that we're bummed that a misplaced XL column gave the community the impression that they weren't as valued as they are. Because the word seemed to seem like they were starting to think that maybe comic creators was being rejected, but advertising professionals weren't. And they may be doing a shift to who they was allowing into the New York Comic Con. So that says, the mass rejection spurred speculation Thursday night on social media, where some began to theorize comic creators were being rejected by convention organizers in favor of other professions such as marketing. And of course, Comic Con has been around, the New York Comic Con has been around since 2006. And swiftly become the second, yeah, I told you that already. New York Comic Con will be held October 4th to the 7th, New York. And of course, it's gotten bigger because no longer it's just being held at the Jacob Javits Center. The city makes a big deal about the whole week. And then, of course, they have events at the Garden and some other venues, making it even harder to get around. And trust me, the trek from the Garden to the Javits Center is quite a bit of a haul. If you're walking, you can't walk fast. So, now I walked it the first time. I went to the New York Comic Con and walked from the Garden to the Javits Center, and it took me, you know, a good while to recover from that. No, I wasn't used to the distance, but now. And so, who knows? Maybe some of those frowns will be turned upside down. I think I'm almost done. I got a couple more stories to do. Sony don't know what to do with themselves, because the Spider-Man spinoff Silver and Black has been dropped from Sony's schedule. Now, if you don't know what Silver and Black is, that was the Black Cat Silver Sable movie. Which nobody was really asking for, because nobody outside the comic book community knows who they are, and you're trying to make a movie about these two characters without having them, either one of them, having really interacted with Spider-Man on the big screen. And it's a good thing. You know, when Sony bought the Spider-Man rights, you know, they thought they were just going to have Spider-Man, of course, use the different villains as, you know, foils. But since Marvel came along and made the cinematic universe, everybody wants to do that, but they don't know how to go about it. And they think they can just throw stuff out there and say, yes, it's connected. You've got the Venom movie coming out with Tom Hardy, and we don't know what this version of Venom And he is playing Eddie Brock, who is the original Venom. How he connects to Spider-Man in any way, shape, or form. My last story is Legion is being renewed for season 3 of FX. And do I need to read anything other than that? Now, Legion's in the second season, so it's a popular show. Lucifer should go to FX. That should be if they can bring it back, maybe it should go to FX. Because it can't do no worse than what Legion's doing on FX. Let's see. Yeah, it's just being announced. The Series 2 finale is set to air Tuesday, June 12th at 10 p.m. So. And since no one's about to call me, I'm hanging up. But before I do, I'm going to tell you about the shows here on rantandradio.com. Starting tomorrow at 11:15, Sports Report, where they'll talk about the NBA Finals, NFL, NHL Finals, and so other sports things. And I don't know if they're going to do a final special tonight. If they do, you know, get with William Morgan on the Sports Report page on Facebook to find out if he's going to come on the air after tonight's Game 2 of the NBA Finals. Tuesday, doubleheader, Shining Wizards live at 7 p.m., followed by The Rant Live at 9 p.m. Friday is Rant and Wrestling at 5. Turnbuckle Throwbacks is at 9. Look for The Midnight Jury on Saturdays at 8 p.m. I can't keep up to when they're on and when they are, because they come on more than they're supposed to. And they might as well just do an every week show. And as I always say, I hope to be back next week for an episode of What Are You Reading Comic Book Show. I don't know if there's going to be a pay-per-view pre and post show next week, but look on the Rants page on Facebook to see if that's going to happen or not. And if so, it'll be live at 7 a.m. with the pre-show. And a post-show immediately following the end of the wrestling event. So that is it. I made it in one thing, and I hear this racist ice cream song outside, so we're not going to stop playing it. Anyway, until next time, see you later. Peace out.